Welcome again to our study of John chapter 12. We are continuing a discussion of how Jesus initiated the public announcement of his kingship in John chapter 12. We read in verses 12 through 15 how the crowd hailed him as the King of Israel. Listen to those verses again in chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. The next day a great crowd who had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young ass and sat upon it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on an ass's colt." Earlier, Jesus told people who had been healed by him not to tell anybody of the healing. Now, however, he is coming out in the open, and he is literally fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, which is quoted in our text in verse 15. Someone might ask, why did Jesus do this? Why did he ride in on an ass's colt and coming into the city declaring himself to be the King of Israel? Surely he knew that he was going to be crucified and would never rule Israel in this lifetime, as the prophets had predicted. The answer lies in the revelation given that when Christ comes to earth the second time, he will come as a conqueror with all the glory appropriate to the victor. We read about that in Revelation chapter 19. Therefore, he rode the colt into the city of Jerusalem to fulfill that prophecy, even though his reigning as the king would be delayed by at least several thousand years. And this is in agreement with the picture that John gives us in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, beginning with verse 11. Listen to it. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold the white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven are clothed with fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses, and from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he might smite the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That describes the return of Jesus to the earth from heaven in glory with his mighty army. And then in chapter 20, which follows, we read about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Well, Matthew's gospel gives emphasis to Jesus as the promised King of Israel and uses the word kingdom 55 times. After 400 years of divine silence, when no revelation was given to the world, the first words which appear in the New Testament talk about Jesus Christ who came, and it gives his lineage, which is so important. Listen. "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Why begin with his lineage? Matthew wanted to establish that Jesus possessed the Old Testament credentials for the Messiah King. God made an unconditional covenant with Abraham that promised blessing to all the families of the earth. He had also promised to make him a great nation, and then, some 1,000 years after Abraham, God made an unconditional covenant with the man David, promising that one of his descendants would establish David's house and his kingdom forever. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, "Your throne will be established forever." God predicted Solomon's birth, and that his son would build a temple of God, and that this son Solomon would establish the kingdom. All that's in verse 12 of 2 Samuel 7, and it reads, "And that his throne would endure forever." Joseph, Mary's husband, was a descendant of Solomon, one through whom the right to the throne would legally pass to Christ. Now, I point this out because there is some confusion about Mary and Joseph. Let's talk for a minute about David and the promises made to him in that unconditional covenant. They have to do with a continuing dynasty or house. God said, "Your house will be established forever." Now, Solomon is specifically addressed as the descendant who would build the house of God, which David wanted to build. David had many other sons, one of whom was Nathan. And if you read the account in Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 23, you will see that Mary descended from that son, Nathan. So the promised seed came through that line, Nathan's line. Of course, that's David's line also. But the throne, or rather the right to the throne, that legal right that was promised, came through Solomon down to Joseph. So the right to the throne passed down through him, that is, through Joseph. And you read about that in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. This makes for a very interesting study, and I encourage our listeners to study those chapters. Now, I wanted to clear that up because some people have not understood how Jesus could be the rightful heir of David's throne and the promised seed of Abraham when he didn't have a human father. And these chapters explain it. So you see, Matthew's gospel gives us, or rather begins with, the genealogy of Jesus, the son of David. That's important. And he's also the son of Abraham. Now, in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Matthew, he reports how the Magi, or better known as the wise men, came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." We'll be talking more about Jesus as the king and what the Bible says about him. But I find so many people who know almost nothing about Jesus who came to be the king. They know about Jesus who came to be the Savior of the world because that's what our preachers have taught us and our Sunday school teachers have explained to us. Except at Christmas time, they do talk about the three wise men and the newborn king. There were not three wise men, of course. The Bible never says there were three. We don't know how many there were. So we have heard of Jesus as the King of the Jews, but we don't find very many people teaching about it. So I want to teach this today so we have a better understanding. The next chapter, chapter 3, in the Gospel of Matthew, gives us the announcement concerning the preparation for the king. And who was it that did it? John the Baptist. He came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. In the opening of chapter 3, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, if you're going to have a king, or if you're going to have a kingdom, you certainly need a king. And if you're going to have a kingdom of heaven, which means heaven's rule down here on this earth, then you'd have to have the king from heaven here on the earth. And that's the person we have in Jesus Christ. He came to establish the kingdom of heaven, or we might say heaven's rule on this earth. The Son of God was intended to be that king. But then as we move through Matthew, you come to chapter 4 and it tells us about the temptation of the king, along with an offer of a substitute kingdom by the devil, beginning with Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All of these will I give to you if you fall down and worship me.'" He offered an easy way to Jesus to become the king of the world. Jesus would not have to suffer for sins, and yet he could be the king. He would not have to be crucified. He would not have to face death, and he could just become the king of the world in such an easy way. All he'd have to do was drop down, not even on both knees, perhaps only one, to show that his master was the devil, and he could have had it all. And this was a real temptation. But Jesus knew the scriptures that someday God would give to him the throne of his father David, and he would rule over the house of Israel forever, and of his kingdom there would be no end. So he did not yield to the temptation. Well, following this victory over the devil, Jesus began to preach what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, he wasn't talking about a kingdom in heaven. He was talking about the kingdom of heaven, or heaven's kingdom, which God has always intended to be established on this earth. As you read your way through Matthew's gospel, you will encounter the laws of the kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount. You'll come to a prayer for the Father's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And then finally, when you get to chapter 10 where Jesus sends out his 12 apostles to preach the same message that he preached, it was the kingdom message. Notice he said, "Don't go to the Samaritans or to the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And as you preach, say, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Friends, what does that mean? It means the kingdom was about to be established, for the King Jesus, the Son of David, had been born and was in the world. God wanted to fulfill what he has always planned, and he was announcing through his word for the people to get ready for the king. So they went and preached, but only to the Jews. Now, we today don't preach this gospel of the kingdom. We preach a gospel of grace, and we don't restrict it to Jews. We preach it to everybody. The gospel of the kingdom, however, was a restricted gospel. Why? Why only to the house of Israel? Why not to the Gentiles and to the Samaritans? Because the kingdom was promised by God only to Israel. This is such an important subject, and I have a few more things to say, but we'll save that until our program tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in. The Radio Bible Course needs to know if you are being blessed by these broadcasts. If so, write to us. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavuta reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.com.